The more we chant, the more we want to chant. Because chanting is nice. Chanting is sweet. Someone asked Prabhupada, what do you get personally from chanting? How do you feel, Prabhupada, when you chant? Prabhupada said, I feel very powerful. Because Krishna's name is Krishna. And Krishna is the source of all power. So when we're chanting the holy name, we're actually coming in contact with the supreme source of all power in the form of Krishna's holy name. So everything is there in the holy names of the Lord. So, two things. One, we have to keep that mind focused on chanting on the holy name and not allow our mind to take us away, because the mind is always eager, whatever opportunity it gets, is to go somewhere else. It's always, you know, down the road. Right? If you can, how many can hear, just count how many times your mind drifted during this conversation? Can you count how many times your mind went away on other time? Once, twice, 10 times, 100 times? You can't, because it's impossible. The mind moves so, you don't even, sometimes it just goes away, you don't even know it's going away. Then you say, oh, what am I doing over here? Let me get back. That's the mind. So we have to see that our mind is not us. We have to deal with the mind like you're dealing with an unruly child. That's how you deal with the mind, like an unruly child. You rule it by the stick of spiritual knowledge and by the words of the spiritual master like that. Keep that mind controlled and fixed on the holy name. And then, day by day, if you're determined, every day, and chant nicely, after some time, you'll find that chanting becomes such a wonderful process. It's so enjoyable. You look forward to chanting. You feel empty if you miss your chanting. You'll become angry if people interfere with your chanting. It's like that. So we have to see the importance and chant with that type of determination. And then Krishna's mercy will come in the form of the holy name. That is guaranteed. Okay, so we have about 5 minutes before Arti. Any questions? Comments? Yes, Vishwamar.
One time Prabhupada mentioned that now I have chanted my 16 rounds, I can do any damn thing. So, well, how do you understand that?
No, that was the story was that Prabhupada was in his quarters and he was with his servant, Shruti Kirti. When Prabhupada was chanting, and he got to the last beat, and he pulled the last beat down, and he looked around and he said, 16 rounds, now I can do any damn thing I want. He laughed. He says, yes, they think like that. Now I've done my 16 rounds, now I can do anything I want. They don't take the value of chanting very seriously. Because chanting means to purify our consciousness where we can actually serve Krishna nicely. Not something we just get done. We look at our beats, oh, I only got 4 more to go. Krishna, save me. Oh, 1 more round to go, and it'll be all over. And then I can go talk, and I can go sleep, and I can take prasad. Help me, Krishna, get the round over. And then we try to say, it's too difficult, I'll chant later. And so it's like that. So, Prabhupada was using a little example to kind of like bring out a point, and people kind of think, well, yeah, doesn't matter. As long as I chant my 16 rounds, I can have a little intoxication, hang around, do whatever I want. Any other questions? Comments? Yes, Murari Chaitanya.
Real quickly, but I was wondering why the soul, when it's encased in this like subtle body and a gross body, when it goes through the process of death with the gross body, why can't it just shuck off this subtle body?
Well, that's the whole thing. Shucking off the subtle body means liberation. So until the subtle body becomes purified of all material desires, that subtle body remains and takes the gross body into, takes the soul into another gross body to fulfill those desires. The subtle body is the compository of all our desires. So the gross body is the vehicle to satisfy those desires. So we have gross desires and subtle desires. And what are the gross desires? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So what are the subtle desires? Pride, adoration, distinction, desire for worship. Subtle. Arrogance. You see, even some of the greatest of all yogis, they are free from association of the opposite sex, they control their eating, they control their sleeping, but they're proud. They're proud of their spiritual advancements. So that's still a material desire. Or they get angry. They may be able to be free from all the gross activities, but they're subject to anger. So that's still a subtle desire. So until they purify that, then they can't go on to, you know, they can't reach the goal. They have to come back and take another body. Anger means attachment. Pride means attachment. Okay? So, gross body and subtle body. And subtle body means liberation. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the holy name of
Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Saraswati Deve He Gauravani Pracharine Hare Vishesha Sunyavad Vastra Dhyarish Harine Namaste Saraswati Deve He Gauravani Pracharine Hare Vishesha Sunyavad Vastya Dhyari Sadhari Namaste Saraswati Deve He Gaurav Bhani Kachari Deve Saisa Sunya Vari Vastya Dhyari Sadhari Namaste Saraswati Deve He Gaurav Bhani Kachari Deve Saisa Sunya Vari Vastya Dhyare Sattari Jai Sri Krishna Vaihi Danyam Prabhu Nityanam Dham Sri Advaita Giridhara Shiva Sat Gaur Vakta Vinda Jai Sri Krishna Vaihi Danyam Prabhu Nityanam Dham Sri Advaita Giridhara Shiva Sat Shantam Sriya Dvaitam Yadidara Shiva Sadi Vidhar Vakti Vinyasi Shri Krishna Devi Kanyam Bhagavadityam Shantam Sriya Dvaitam Yadidara Shiva Sadi Vidhar Vakti Vinyasi Shri Krishna Hei Tanya Bhavu Nityan Hantam Sri Advaitam Yadadhara Sivakam Gaura Vakta Vinyasi Sri Krishna Hei Tanya Bhavu Nityan Hantam Sri Advaitam Yadadhara Sivakam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hastutarusat Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki, His Tan Founder Acharya Chita Prabhupada Ki, Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Shishi Kishor Kishori Ki, Nitai Gaud Primanandi. Glories to the assembled devotees, glories to the assembled devotee, glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vivek, can you give me some more water? Yeah. Not cold. Yeah. Krishna. Can you hear me?
It's okay. I can hear. I don't know if you can or not.
Hari Bol. Thank you. Krishna. Do we need a fan?
Fan, maybe small feet.
Yeah, a little less.
Or shut it off.
Very well. We have AC. All the cooling we need. So, yesterday, I believe it was. It was Purnima, which is the full moon. And this particular full moon is called Guru Purnima. And it represents the time where we honor the spiritual teachers, spiritual masters. So once a year there's a type of full moon which is called Guru Purnima, where this all the great acharyas, all the gurus are honored. In our society it's more specific in that we honor the spiritual master on his, what we say, his appearance day or his birthday. In the case of Srila Prabhupada, it's always the day after Janamastami, and that is called Vyasa Puja. But today, yesterday also, and today, in some places of the world, it's actually today, in some places it was yesterday, is the disappearance day of one of the greatest of all followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose name was Srila Sanatana Goswami, who was one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who was a principal associate of Lord Chaitanya in order to propagate religious teachings in the world, wrote many books on the pastimes and activities of the Lord, wrote commentaries on the great scriptures such as Srimad Bhagavatam, and excavated many of the holy places of Lord Krishna's pastimes which had been lost due to the influence of time. As we understand, between the time of Lord Krishna and the time of Lord Chaitanya, there was 4,500 years. So during that time, many of the holy places were lost. Well, not lost, but they were covered over and lost to the awareness of the public in general. So Lord Chaitanya, he is none different than Krishna. 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and as it says, Brajendra Nandanaye Sachi Suta Hoilo Se Balaram Hoilo Nitai, that same darling of Braj, Krishna, has come again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the same brother of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, Balaram, has come as Lord Nityananda. So both of these transcendental personalities who were present 4,005 years ago, 400 years ago, has reappeared as Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So actually when we worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, we're actually in the mood of worshiping Braj, because that is their mood. Now Lord Chaitanya's teachings is the essence of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. We come from what is called the Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya, coming from Lord Brahma, from Brahma to Narada, from Narada to Vyas, from Vyas down. And the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa Sanata, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala, Dasa Raghunath, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are considered part of that disciplic succession coming from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we take it even further, gradually, And then there was, you know, Madhavendra Puri and Ishwar Puri, Lord Chaitanya, you know, of course that was before. And then we have Baladev Vidya Bhushan and Lakshmipati Tirtha, and then of course finally coming to Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Goswami, and then to the present day Srila Prabhupada. So we have a direct connection between Lord Brahma and Lord Srila Prabhupada giving us the disciplic succession. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there as part of the disciplic succession, and he has made that Sampradaya Gaudiya, which is coming from the area of West Bengal. And also sometimes we say Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, where we include the teachings and the activities of Madhva Acharya, who, although he has his own lineage, he is considered to be part of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, although there's slight difference in teachings too. Now, Sanatan Goswami, whose disappearance day was yesterday, I'd like to speak just a little bit about and give you a little history of his teachings, his contribution, and just the quality of this Vaishnav. Now, Lord Chaitanya, he taught many principles, and one of the main, most important principles that he taught was humility. Lord Chaitanya didn't write very much. In fact, he only wrote 8 verses, which was called the Sri Chaitanya Shastika or Sri Shikshastika, in which he glorifies the holy name and the qualities of a devotee of the Lord. And the 3rd verse of the Shikshastika is considered to be one of the more essential verses in that whole teaching, where he explains that Trinadapi Sunichena Tayorapi Suhishnuna Amaninam Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, that the quality for properly chanting the holy names of the Lord requires humility, tolerance, and what is called pridelessness. He compares humility to the humility of a grass. The grass on the ground, you see, the grass is, everybody steps on the grass. The grass doesn't complain. Sometimes people pitch their tents and stab the grass with their spikes. And of course the animals, and they use the grass for their restrooms. So the grass is not very getting so much praise nowadays. Grass is straw in the street, low. So, and then he says, well, not only that, but you have to be like the grass, but you also have to be like the tree. And he compares the tolerance of a tree to being one of the qualities necessary of a devotee. And what is that tolerance? The tree stands out all year in the elements, sometimes in the hot sun, especially in India, where the sun gets very hot, sometimes 120 degrees Fahrenheit. What is that, Celsius? About 55 degrees Celsius, something like that, 50 degrees. Tremendous amount of heat. But the tree is there. Not only is it standing in the sun, but it's giving shade to those who take shelter under it. So it's very magnanimous, at the same time being very tolerant. And then, of course, animals such as birds and others, they make their home in the tree. They dig holes in the tree. And then the tree is also, if in the winter time people need to heat their homes, especially in Western countries, so they chop the tree down and they take the wood to use it for keeping heating their house or building their house. So the tree is providing so much, but it's not complaining. So therefore the tree is very tolerant. So So Lord Chaitanya said one has to be more tolerant than the tree. And then the last one is one has to be prideless. One has to give all respects to others and not expecting any respect for oneself. So he says in this particular verse, if one can follow these three principles, then one can deeply absorb oneself in chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Now, Sanatana Goswami was the personification of humility. Really, what attracts Krishna the most is humility. The conditioned soul has come to the material world due to the desire to enjoy separately for Krishna. So that is somewhat of a breach of the quality of humility. It's quite the opposite. A rebellious attitude is never an attitude that is understood as being humble. One may be have a demeanor of simplicity, but still, if one is not submissive to authority such as God, then humility has no real meaning. So humility means to submit oneself to the will of God. That is real humility. And also to not only to submit oneself, but to totally submit oneself. The more the conditioned soul accepts the will of God and carries out that will in the spirit of enthusiasm, the more the quality of humility is there within that person. So Sanatana Goswami was a personification of humility. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had four persons that he says, do not try to imitate their qualities, because you will not be able to. If you try, you will simply make a fool of yourself and you may fall down in your spiritual practice. And these four persons were Ramananda Roy, Sanatana Goswami, Haridas Thakur, Srila Haridas Thakur, Namacharya, and Damodar Pandit. So what was Haridas Thakur noted for? Chanting. He was chanting every day 3 lakhs of names of God. 300,000 names of God every day. So if you were to have a mala and you were to count how many names that is, that's, I mean, how many rounds of a mala that is, the mala having 108 beads on it, that's 192 rounds every day he would chant. So nobody can do that unless you're living in the Himalayas and you don't have to punch your time clock and take care of the kids and do whatever else is necessary. So of course there have been other persons who have done that, but it's very rare. So Lord Chaitanya says, don't try to imitate Haridas Thakur. Chant 16 rounds. If you can do that, that's considered to be very good. 16 rounds is 27,000 names, approximately. So that's pretty good. That's 7,000 names of God every day. The other person was Damodar Pandit. Damodar Pandit, he was one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, wherein he was a personification of proper Vaishnava behavior, following very strictly the rules and regulations of etiquette of behavior of a Vaishnava. And any digression from Vaishnava behavior, Damodar Pandit would be quite annoyed. And not only that, but his activities in Vaishnava behavior went as far as correcting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was the Supreme Lord himself, due to his position as being God, he doesn't have to follow exactly Vaishnava behavior because he's God. He would sometimes break the principles of Vaishnava behavior for reasons, of course. And Damodar Pandit would sometimes chastise the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya says, don't try to imitate Damodar Pandit and try to chastise Krishna. Unless your mother Yasoda, then you can, that's different. The third was Ramananda Roy, who had this amazing ability to not to be affected by the opposite sex. He used to train the dancers in the Jagannath temple how to dance for Lord Jagannath. And in order to prepare them for dancing, he would massage the bodies of these young girls with his own hands. And he was so absorbed in Krishna that it explains that in his consciousness, while he was doing this service, he was in his mood of being in the spiritual world, assisting the gopis in their loving relationship with Krishna. Of course, we know in the spiritual world there's no tinge of any kind of material inebrieties, so there's no lust there. So his mind was like stone when he was doing this. So Lord Chaitanya said, don't ever try to imitate Ramananda Roy. Quite obvious. And the last one was Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami's personification of humility was so deep and so powerful that when Lord Chaitanya would sometimes hear Sanatan Goswami talk, he would tell him to stop talking. Your humility breaks my heart. I can't. It's just causing my heart so much disturbance. Sometimes, you know, sometimes people are so humble that you feel embarrassed by their humility. Sometimes it's like that. There's people like that. Of course, you don't meet too many of them on your daily work job in the West, but there are people like that. In India, you find many people who are very, very endowed with that natural quality of humility. And Sanatana Goswami, to fast forward his life a little bit, he would want to see Lord Chaitanya. So there was a path. There was two paths. There was the path by the beach, and there was the path going near the Jagannath temple. So the path going near the Jagannath temple was the simplest and easiest path. But he was, at one point, his body was so much covered with sores. He had contracted a very rare disease by drinking bad water. And so what happened was that in order not to allow the servants of Lord Jagannath to see him, he was embarrassed by his condition, that he would walk along the beach route to see Lord Chaitanya. And the beach in those days, you know, the hot burning sand, it was so hot that his feet would get blisters on his feet by walking on the sand. Because you ever walk on a hot sandy beach or a hot tar? You don't walk, you run, you jump. And actually, we should do that in our temples, put some hot sand so people would dance more. I think it's good for some people. Anyway. So he would accept that as his austerity. But there are many stories of his humility. Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami and Anupam were three brothers. And they were employed in the service of the Muslim. They were born actually in a family of Brahmins. They were born from Saraswati Brahmin class, which is considered one of the highest Brahmin classes. They were born in the south, Karnataka, but eventually they came to the north. They were living in West Bengal. At that time there was one king whose name was Nawab Hussain Shah, who was a very ruthless and vicious ruler. And at that time India was under Muslim rule in many cases. This was in the 1400s, 1500s. So in order for the Nawab to somewhat control the population, he was trying to think, well, how can I subdue the Hindu population? So one of his generals told him, well, actually, Sanatan Goswami, whose name was Santosh at the time, and his brother Amar, and his other brother Anupam, they are very, very learned in scriptures. They are very respected within the Hindu community. And if you can get them to serve you, then you can control the Hindu population because they are respected. So the Nawab was thinking, here is a way. So what he did, he went to Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami and Anupam and said, if you don't serve in the government, then I will persecute you and all the Hindus. And he was a vicious ruler. So reluctantly, they took up service of the Mohammedans. And for a Hindu to take up a service of a Mohammedan is considered, you lose your caste, you lose your everything, your reputation. It's considered to be better to die. In fact, during the riots in 1947, many people just committed suicide because the Muslims were throwing water from their pot on the Hindus, and therefore you become a Muslim by getting sprinkled with a kamandalu of a Muslim. But of course, this is crazy caste consciousness, you know. But that's the way it was, you know. Caste consciousness was so strong like that. It's quite ridiculous. But, yeah. But Muslims are considered to be, you know, malaitia, fifth class at best. So they were ruling by military power. So Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Anupam agreed to take service in their government. But they were so highly respected in the government because they did such wonderful service that the Nawab, he actually gave them Muslims' names. He called them Dabir Kash and Sarkar Milik. He gave them Muslims, and to get an honorary Muslim name for a Hindu, that was like, from Muslim point of view, that's a great honor. So they were because not only were they, you know, working for them, but they were expert and everything. So much expert that the Nawab was so happy that he didn't even rule the government himself. He gave them the government to rule. All the administration, all the finances, all whatever else was needed. And he just went out and did his military business. So they ruled like that. But their mother, whose name was Revati Devi, she was always concerned that their sons were working for Muslims. So she was always very unhappy. So she said, you should, you know, try to get out of it. Well, what can we do? The Hindus will be persecuted. So Sanatan Goswami, one night, he fell asleep, and in the dream, a very beautiful and very saintly Brahmin appeared to him in the dream and said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, is here, and he's living in Navadvip Bengal. You should try to meet him, or at least contact him somehow. So he sent a letter to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explaining his situation and how he was being employed in the Muslim government. But Lord Chaitanya didn't reply. So he sent the second letter, and he didn't reply. He sent a third letter. Still there was no reply. Finally, in the fourth letter, Lord Chaitanya wrote back. He said, a wife may be married to her husband, she is, but she also may have a lover, paramour. So she does her duty very well for her husband, so her husband doesn't suspect that she has a lover. So in that way, that was the whole letter. He ended the letter. So Sanatana Goswami understood, yes, that I should continue my government service, but at the same time, I should be always thinking of Krishna, always absorbed in Krishna. And that is actually for us too, to understand that sometimes we're at our jobs, or we're at our ordinary mundane businesses. So we do these things not because we like to do them, because it's the thing that's going to make us happy or we look forward to. Ultimately, as devotees always want to serve Krishna, chant Krishna's name, associate with other devotees. So these things are extraneous, but they're necessary, so we do them. But in our heart, we should be thinking of Krishna. In our mind, we should be eager to go and perform devotional activities. So that is like the wife who's serving the husband very nicely, but at the same time she's thinking about the lover like that. So he got the hint. So he continued. After some time, Lord Chaitanya had taken up residence in Puri. He left Puri on the plea to go to Vrindavan. So he was traveling with a few of his associates. During that time, he was going from village to village, chanting the holy names of the Lord.